Hi folks, welcome to Follow the Leader, a podcast focused on telling character-driven stories through the use of GM-less tabletop games where we can all take the lead. You can find us on Tumblr at FTLcast and at FTLcast.com. We also have a Patreon at patreon.com/FTLcast. Today we're playing House by Marn S. For those who are new to this game, here are the basics. This is a story about a house. This is also a game about an eldritch, ever-expanding building that you and your fellow players have entered and are going to investigate and may never find your way out of. I'm Anya, and you can find me nowhere. And my pronouns are they, them. Playing with me today, we have Zach.
Hello, my name is Zachary Fredrickson. You can find me on Twitter at @ofskittinggod. Other places at Zachary Olson Presents or Zachary Olson. The music I make for this show at iambugbear.bandcamp.com. And my pronouns are he, him.
Sam.
Hi, I am Sam. You can find me on Tumblr at Sassy Tale, and you can find my portfolio website, which desperately needs an overhaul, at www.samkalo.art. I use he, they pronouns.
Jade.
Hi, hello, I'm Jade. You can find me most places on the internet at Jade Oxford Rose. I use they, them pronouns, and that's the extent of what I'm willing to talk about this time, because I am a creature of mystery.
Corey.
Hey, folks, I'm Corey. You can find me on Twitter at Endless Musings. You can find me on cohost.org at Missy Nim, and I use he, him pronouns.
And August.
Hello, I'm August. You can find me on Blue Sky at Harpy Dora. You can find me on Tumblr at Strange Harpy. And you can find things that I have created at harpydora.itch.io. And my pronouns are they, them.
Our lines, things we absolutely do not want to see, are homophobia and transphobia, racism, sexism, anti-Semitism, violence against children and animals, sexual assault, domestic violence or intimate partner violence, unwanted pregnancy, and plagues and pandemics. Our veils, things we're fine with addressing, but we'll just fade to black on, our steamy situations, graphic descriptions of bodily harm, and terminal illness. Now that we've got all that, let's get started.
Woo!
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 It is worth noting that this is a horror game, so there may be some further content warnings. Knowing me, there's probably going to be body horror involved in this. Keep an ear out. We'll try to drop a content warnings where they're necessary.
Can we also just list them in the description?
If they come up. Absolutely.
Yeah, once we know what they are.
So we've played House on the podcast a couple of times, way back when in the early days, amusing enough with Anya and a couple of other friends from the room where it happened, our sibling podcast. We have played it as the season finale of season 5 with the Ghost Hunter crew. And we're returning again, but this time we're doing something a little different. We are still going to be a group of people exploring a space. But we thought, hey, why not do it in space?
Yeah.
At the FTL sci-fi verse is pretty well established at this point. And shout out to former cast member Mab, who, when we were chatting about this on another project, said, oh, wouldn't it be dope if you were exploring the Bastion, also known as the Bastard, and took that to the group, but it was a bit like light bulb moment. So here we are. If you don't remember, or perhaps this is your first time joining us on FTL, the Bastion, affectionately or, you know, derogatorily known as the Bastard, was a pirate enclave, a former Unisol space station that had been reclaimed, taken over, and made the home slash a port of call of many a wayward individual in this universe. If you've listened to our games of Icarus, of Flotsam, of the constellations outside your window, I may have the title of that slightly wrong, Uneven Orbits. We've spent a lot of time in this universe, but this is later. How long after the last time we were here? Who can say? But this space station has been abandoned for some time. If you want to hear why, what possibly went wrong, go listen to the Kingdom game that we played. But now we have a salvage crew approaching this derelict. So I suppose we should describe what this space station looks like and introduce our characters as this, as our ship moves in closer.
Yep, we begin by deciding what the exterior looks like. The leading questions in the document don't necessarily apply because it's like, do you often see cars coming and going from the driveway?
You could be like, hey, is there activity here?
Yeah. True.
You know,
we could also, for fun, introduce each of our characters, answering one of these sort of leading questions about the house as we go, as a way to sort of like introduce who we're playing and their sort of vibe as we each answer one of these describing the house questions or describing the space station, as the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just rubbing my little hands together. Let's rock.
Yeah. Introducing ourselves, introducing who we are, why we're here, mm-hmm. us floating towards this thing. Oh, I didn't realize how far I hadn't zoomed in. That spaceship is bigger than I intended it to be.
Incredible.
I love it.
Well, you know, lots of room for salvage.
I can try and make it a little smaller if you would like.
There we go.
I like the big spaceship.
This ship, not necessarily to scale.
Yes, but we have to draw a map.
Yeah, we have to draw a map. So it's still a big spaceship. It's just to scale. What's the name of our spaceship?
Well, your character's the captain.
Yeah, but you know we're all here. You know.
Ooh, what do you name a spaceship? What do you name a salvaging spaceship? So, I guess I should ask, like, we have a depiction of it here, but, like, is it, like, sleek? Are we, like,
no.
Chunky? Like, what's the vibe of the ship itself?
All I can imagine is the fucking Red Dwarf, but smaller. Because the mining ship Red Dwarf is massive. It's, like, I think it's a couple of miles long.
Oh, sure.
But like
I was imagining like an RV that goes through space.
Fuck yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I gotcha.
Do we have like a big, do we have like a trailer then effectively that we can hook on?
Space trailer. Yeah. Let's
yeah.
go.
Fuck, it's probably yes. It's probably not behind us because that's where thrusters go, but it's probably like it's like our ship. Yeah, our ship is a kind of smaller thing that is like our ship and habitation and stuff that has like this huge industrial cargo like module that we can like detach from if we need to.
I love that, that makes sense. So much.
It's like you control stuff through, and then when you drag it back, you just dump it into the cargo bay. So is it just like a big, like stupid, like corrugated steel, like coated cargo container then? Or is it like more like a big module that has like warehouse stuff within it properly?
It could be like a big octagonal prism.
Octagon.
Where it's if you like took a cargo container, like a standard cargo container, and extruded it into an octagonal shape.
Yeah.
And like maybe there was some like maybe there's like different like the space inside is like organized in such a way that like you have like multiple floors basically.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All I can think with that, if we've got a ship that like sort of like sits on top of this big cargo module, just what about if it's like the ship's name is a kind of hat? Because it's just like it just sits on top.
Oh, that's fun.
Whatever kind of hat it could be. But it could be like a person's name and then just a hat type.
Sure.
I like Stetson.
Ooh, Stetson's a fun one. Fun. Yeah.
I did just get back from Nashville too, so
I can dig Stetson.
Hell yeah.
Is it just the Stetson, or is it like I think that's probably enough of a hat on that hat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Maybe it's legally got a longer name, like on its records, but everyone just calls it the Stetson.
Yeah, I mean it's the Unified Systems salvage vessel. Mm-hmm. HMS Stetson, or you know,
yeah, model like ST3S,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
0M. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Well,
all right, we got a ship.
Here's the ship,
Captain. We my captain, ship. You're top of the dock. You still got to go first.
Oh, wonderful! All right, well, so I today am playing one Marlon Verrazzano, captain of the Stetson. You know, scion of the Verrazzano family. My father was a starship captain. His father was a starship captain, as was his mother and his aunt. You know, and maybe my starship isn't quite as fancy as all those Navy vessels that they captain, but it's still a ship. I'm still a captain. I am 40 years old. I have a glowing tan. A bleach blonde mullet, wraparound sunglasses, and a pretty sizable stash of nicotine gum. I'm kicking the habit. It means I don't have a cigar to point with anymore, which bothers me, but I make up for it by chewing a lot of gum.
I love the notion that you tried using a vape and it just was not as effective. It was not the same. And it just, no, I can't. I would rather have nothing.
Yeah, it's teeny bopper shit. And yeah. So this place, I don't know that I've been to the Bastion in myself, Zach, as a player.
I don't think I have either.
Mm-hmm. August and I think, are the only ones who have. And It took long enough to get into the game to figure out a name for it, let alone describing what it looked like. We were just very like, it's a space station. I think we maybe floated DS9 as a point of visual comparison because it is former Unisol, which is like our sci-fi versus shady. It's like part Star Trek Federation, part Empire. They're the bad guys. You know,
okay.
They're cops.
Sure. So this is, we got rings on rings, spokes. It's like a wheel in space.
Mm. Or at least it was in its heyday. I imagine there are probably
at this point some of those spokes are broken.
Yeah.
There is like wreckage and debris floating around. Marlon's kind of looking around, chewing his gum, considering, pondering, and he goes, so Kai, you think any of this scrap's useful, or it's all the stuff inside?
behind Marlin. I wouldn't say looming, because looming implies a sort of intent that Kai doesn't have. Though he is tall. Kai is 6'6"-ish robot person with brass and bronze plating. The model would look very familiar if you happen to have encountered Minos Tar at any point in the universe. But a lot more damaged. A lot rougher around the edges, signs of weathering, damage to the plating, parts have been replaced. And his name is Kai Mirren. And he steps up, looks out the window, and says, I expect we could find much of interest. But until we get a closer look, I couldn't say for certain either way. Is there something you would like me to do?
Well, I don't know. You know, you're the... what is it? What was your title?
I don't believe I have an official title. I believe on the tax returns I am listed as lead extractor.
Yeah, so, you know... For the purposes of extract... Yeah. I guess we can sweep it up in a net on the way out if we need to.
That seems like the most logical course of action. We should check, however, to see what sort of storage we currently have available. Because we could quite easily fill up entirely on scrap, and that would have minimal... resale value.
See, this is the thing. This is the good insight. Gives you a thumbs up.
Kai smiles as much as... Yeah, no, Kai has a sort of a friendly face. It's pretty expressive. If you haven't... There aren't that many of this make of robot around, and this is possibly the oldest looking... model that certainly the camera in this universe has seen. But Kai sort of tilts their head, takes in the side of this. I love the thought that it's still sort of doing idle circles, very mm-hmm. slow ones, obviously.
And like it's like the like, you know, space is like fully three dimensional, but like the direction we've come at makes it look like it's like listing to one side.
Kai will, as we are popcorning, Kai walks out of the sort of bridge area and will rap on the frame. It clangs of our antiquities expert and say, Miss Sands, we are approaching the derelict.
So I will be playing Marnie Sands, uses she, her pronouns. This young woman looks to be in like her early 20s with lightly tanned skin and shoulder length blue hair that has acid green tips. She's currently wearing a jumpsuit that's about a half size too large for her, and she looks up from the data pad that she'd been scrolling through and says, what? Sorry, I'm just looking at some readouts. What was that?
We are approaching the derelict space station.
Oh, boy. Well... That's good news, right? We're almost there. We're almost to the home stretch.
We will not be approaching home in quite some time, Miss Sands.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, the home stretch is when we're gonna be finishing the project, and then we'll be headed out. Like I don't know. Sorry, I'm just feeling really scattered. Something about this is worrying me.
Do you think we should exercise caution? More so than usual?
It's probably fine. Don't mind me. Have you told anybody else that we're on the approach?
The captain is aware. Otherwise, no.
All right. Well, how about I rouse the rest of the troops, and we can get ready for the docking procedures.
Very good.
And Marnie will put aside the data pad, hop out of her chair, and head to the residential area where she knocks on the door. And I will leave it up to Corey, Anya, and Sam as to which one of you answers.
Residential area implies a much grander.
The bunk.
Yeah. We have the one room.
The bunk room is what I meant, but I couldn't come up with the word bunk.
Sure. I just wanted
the barrack, yeah.
The fact that Kai left abridged to and went to a discreet other room already made the ship bigger than I thought it was.
When I say bridge, I mean like if this was an RV, it's like getting out of the passenger seat, the shotgun seat, and going to the back of the RV.
Yeah.
I
feel like there's a kitchenette back there, yeah.
Sorry, my brain wasn't coming up with the word bunk, but bunk is what I was looking for.
That's fair, yeah, that's fair. How y'all feel? We're not going to rock, paper, scissors this, are we?
You go ahead.
I could rock this, so I think the door will open. There's a bit of the sound of rustling leaves as Thorn Hecastocles, using they/it pronouns, shows up at the door. Compared to the others, Thorn is more of a plant adopting the shape of a human. The sort of head region has a fairly sparse bush of white flowers with a yellow sort of inside. Their arms, or what would be arms, are sort of represented by long, viney sort of manipulators. Their base is within a hard plastic plant pot, but their entire form itself is also contained within sort of a translucent bubble suit that allows them to sort of hold their speed while staying in place, but maintaining their posture with the others. Without the suit, they'd probably be about maybe at most 3 feet tall. With the suit, they stand closer to about 5'2". In addition to the bubble suit, they also have a large water tank attached to the back. This also is see-through, which is filled with not just water, but also a mix with a specific mineral composition that helps to sustain them as they go about the ship. The flowers on their head sort of wither and bloom a bit in response to Marnie, and there is a sort of buzz as the voice transponder on the suit opens. This is close to the station. We are arriving soon.
Yeah, it's time to, well, I mean, you're already in your suit, but you know, it's time to put our pants on and get ready, metaphorically.
I will attend to my station, see what anomalous materials are represented. I'm sure this background, the strange happenings centered around the bastard, means there are many interesting things we can pick out from the insides.
Yeah.
With that, yeah, Thorn will sort of step past the flower bush, turning forwards towards some of the analytical tools, more towards the bridge region.
I feel like at this, Bazda... Hi, I'm playing Bazda. Peeks her head out and goes, someone call me.
Yeah, it's time to get up, sleepyhead.
Great. And out of the bunk comes a 4'9", bald and grizzled butch. In this universe, not a dwarf, simply a little bit short. Basda Irontread. The lumps out of her bunk and starts putting on her pants over some hilarious heart-printed boxer shorts that she was sleeping in. Classic.
Classic.
Absolutely. And as she's putting on her shorts and, you know, I guess maybe not shorts, cargo pants, uniform like the rest of everybody, it's like, so, this ship, huh? It's not a ship. What are we doing again? What are we approaching?
Space station.
Whole station, huh? I think you guys are gonna find anything interesting in there?
I mean, it's pretty big. There's bound to be something in there for everyone.
Can't say I need much, but yeah, let's go.
You know, Kai, I really appreciate how everybody on this crew was awake and alert and 100% ready for the thing that we've been flying to for the past 6 months.
Right? Yeah. Kasta, like, walks into the room and is, like, shouldering a backpack or whatever.
Speaking of, Kai, you mentioned before, Basda, how's the hold looking? You finished rearranging stuff?
Me?
Yeah,
the hold is definitely I look at my companions like, huh?
You're the loader.
Yeah, sure. I'm here to, I like heft my axe. I'm like, I'm here to punch stuff if things go wrong. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, Thorn will reach out and place a manipulator on Marlin's shoulder. Captain, I will check the hold for organization.
Didn't the resume say hired muscle? What is muscle for if not lifting things?
There is a rustle as Thorn goes down below.
Basda's just gonna like look back and be like, and like hustle her way down there too.
She is cargo loader certified, right?
Oh, 100%, yeah. No, she isn't.
You would have to ask Miss Sunny Day. She is responsible for all hiring and all paychecks.
Sunny would, at that point, it's the stupidest way this character can enter. I think, like...
coming out of the kitchen, coffee, Stanley mug.
Oh my god, no. Barry is not a Stanley mug girl.
She shows up late with a mug of coffee and bunny slippers.
Mm-hmm.
A little space bucks, yeah.
The bunny slippers would be incredible.
That is pretty good.
You know, like those headbands that you use when you're like washing your face and stuff? Whatever has literal bunny ears on it.
Oh, she definitely has that. I'm picturing for her, just like, you know, when you're a kid and you hang off the monkey bars by like your knees wrapped around them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Just her dropping out of somewhere in this pit, hanging from like a pipe or something, with like Basda's resume. Just like, says here, muscle. It's just written muscle on the bullet point. That's weird. That's fine.
Marlin is massaging his temples.
Barry reaches over like, you need me to get that for you, big guy?
I can't believe I quit smoking for this. It's the worst time for it to have happened.
It'll be fine.
If she is confident in her ability to swing an axe, I have no doubt of her ability to lift a heavy thing.
I don't know why we would need an axe on abandoned ships, but yeah.
No, but she seemed very confident.
She did seem very confident.
Barry, we'll put the resume in front of your face directly. Just like, yeah, look right here. Under skills, it lists axe swinging.
Ready to sell any cyber trees you might come across.
This isn't... is this contested territory? I thought the hegemony had receded in this area.
They have. Oh. Well... in the off chance we encounter a door that we cannot open otherwise, perhaps Miss Einstead's axe will come in handy.
Sure. Oh, Sam, do you think Bazda might be from like a high gravity world, maybe? That's part of why she's shorter and stronger.
Yeah. I like that. High gravity world.
Hell yeah. Also, every ship needs its lumberjack for morale purposes.
Exactly. She is most used to actually cleaving heads with this axe rather than...
So mercenary work.
Yeah, basically.
But the mercenary work has been thin on the ground.
So she figured, yeah, hired muscle. People know what that means. Apparently not.
You're hired for your muscle, and, you know, muscle can be things.
It sure can.
I hired you for your muscle, remember?
Well, muscles she's got in high supply.
That's literally why I hired you. Good.
So, we've established who this group is, how we're approaching the station. As we prepare to dock, to return to the book, what are each of us carrying with us as we go, as we prepare to enter the derelict? And I will draw a square representing sort of like the loading bay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wherever we're docking.
Verrazano, Marlin, suits up. What kind of space suits do we think we got? Do you think we got like alien style, like Prometheus style, with like the kind of form fitting with the open plate of glass in front of the face?
I like that. Until we know what sort of space we're heading into. Absolutely makes sense. Okay, I've drawn a little docking bay. One thing that was established, there is more than one docking bay at this site. We mostly only just saw the one. But like in, so I like it's like, if we've talked about like this station looking like the spokes of a bike, of a wheel, sorry. So we've like come up alongside one of these spokes to one of the loading areas of this space station. And we've hooked up all the connectors. Everything is like pressurizing as it should. We're checking the readout to see if it's going to be atmospherically safe inside for people who breathe.
Yeah, I think definitely we're going to want atmo suits in here, because this place was pressurized at one point, but you know, there's enough breaches that I feel like it's going to be spotty. I do want to say, so Marlin, he has a gun. He was a soldier before he washed out, but really the thing he brings is he's got a little music player hooked up to his suit's audio, so he can give us just a little bit of you know, tunes while we're working.
Nice.
I also want to say his suit is patterned such that it, when he's not in his spacesuit, he's got like, he wears shorts around the ship, and for whatever reason, like the pattern on his suit makes it look like he's still wearing shorts.
I love this for him.
Man is such a dad.
This is very like tuxedo t-shirt coded.
Yeah.
That's what I wore to my dishonorable discharge hearing. he's a dad. He's also the dude.
Nice. Okay. Yep.
Kai doesn't have exactly the same kind of suit because they're less vulnerable to obviously lack of oxygen, gravity issues, and the like. They do have sort of some protective layers on. They adjust their beanie, and they have a big sort of like a lantern that they crack to life, preparing. When I said their job was lead X-rays, well, like, they go first to make sure it's safe for humans and plant people to come after. There's a reason they're as damaged as they are.
I love them. I would die for them.
He would be so upset if you died for them. Genuinely distressed.
I feel like this beats the purpose, yeah.
Very much so.
But yeah, has like a tool belt and a couple of scanning devices. No weapons of any kind. And is waiting for everybody to sort of, assuming we all go aboard, we bleeped the alarm on the RV. Like, got the autopilot is running, just to keep everything kosher.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone got any specific gear? Any customizations to their?
Oh yeah.
Like, one thing, like Kai wears like a cropped cargo jacket, like Baja print, like big, like brightly colored flowers and stuff.
I love that. So.
That's very nice. Yeah, I think with Thorn, they're already in one suit, but that one suit is just to like contain its form. So it's not really in, it's, that's the body suit, but they have like another one on top of that to help protect from like the cosmic radiation and other sorts of things that can come.
They're a Matryoshka doll of a plant person.
Yeah, they're a suit of suits. So this other one is like, I think it'd be more comparable to like a hazmat suit almost.
Yeah.
Something that is like more lead lined and able to keep them from being necessarily like horrifically done about, but at the same time, sort of like with Kai, even though it's an organic form, it doesn't have the same necessarily like stressors and such that humans do. So it's more just about like protection from specific elements than it is like needing to 100% like breathe. It has, because it has its nutrient tank to help it with like staying hydrated and still being oxygenated and other sorts of things like that. In addition to that, though, on the outside of the suit, it would also have like a tool belt with more specialized gear on it. Technically, it does engineering and materials analysis. So like heavy duty scanners, like multi-tools, power tools, like batteries for those. It's equipped to take things down and apart in a somewhat more delicate manner than, say, someone with a giant axe would, or someone with just normal salvaging tools would necessarily. It's made for delicate operations.
Bazda steps out in her, I want to say her suit has like extra pockets in it for like, she's got a very like hashtag tactical vibe.
It's camo in space.
It's camo in space, 100%.
Oh,
so tactical.
Tactic cool.
It just occurred to me that like a lot of the time when you work in construction, you provide your own PPE. Like yeah. You have to have certain aspects of it. And the notion, like, yeah, you can come join our salvage team, but you do have to have your own spacesuit.
Yeah.
And so Bart has turned up in this like tactical camo, like, but like the digital kind of, maybe the black and gray digital camo.
Oh my god, yeah.
It's a camo suit, but it has to have high vis tape on it.
Oh my god! It's yeah, except it's just duct tape, like highly reflective duct tape that's been added in stripes around it.
Yeah, I love this. Bazda's like she's hefting her cyber axe, which is, imagine like, you know, MMO weapons and how they're extremely over designed.
Yes.
Okay, so it's like that. The blade of the cyber axe is like glowing bright green, and there's like glowing bright green letters on the side of it that nobody else can read. It's very cool looking. It's very out of place in this weird abandoned spaceship, but she has it strapped across her back, and its subtle green glow is like dimly illuminating part of the room with this sort of sickly color.
Hell yeah.
Love it.
She just sort of grunts and keeps going.
I think Marnie's suit, because of her particular interest in like the antiquated technology, she has special gloves that it's silly, but it's similar to like how, you know, you can buy gloves that have special coating on the fingertips to still let you interact with your phone's touchscreen.
Yep.
It's very much like that. And she has a multi-tool that looks like a sonic screwdriver because of who I am as a person, that lets her get into like the physical hardware of older computer systems. And it has like a little battery pack for trying to power those systems as she tries to see if they're actually viable to salvage.
Oh, yeah. What is it? So are we just looking for anything? Is it, do we know that there's some sort of treasure here that we expect to have?
I like the thought that it's just a far enough place that, and maybe it's just got rumors that people just don't go here. So the idea is that since all the pirates left, Unisol haven't gone back. So presumably there's like, even if it's just ripping all the copper wiring out of it.
Mm-hmm. Like this place has not been picked over as much.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the vibe okay. I get. Like the Bastard itself, it was a pirate station, right? So that means yep. that outside of all of the technology and whatnot that Unisol could have that represents like its presence on there, like it's if it's pirates, there could be anything there. It could be a veritable treasure trove or it could be absolute trash. And there's no way to know unless you actually get there.
Boy, all right, well.
I think it's a bit one of those like mythic payday kind of things because like maybe salvage crews talk about it. It's like, yeah, well, if you get there, sure, but who wants to drive out or who wants to fly out that far on the off chance that there's something good?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What about Miss Sunny Day?
Yeah, I think so. Barry's humanoid, or is a human. So she would definitely need all of the requirements for that. But otherwise, her unique touches that she's added, I've mentioned on her thing, she's basically bubblegum princess who will kill you. So she has a completely pink space suit.
Yes, good.
Always has her pistol with her. And I think, so I've written that she always wears a flower crown. So I think she's found a way to make that a part of her suit as well.
Just hot glued around the glass visor bit.
Yeah, somehow it's on there.
Hell yeah.
Someone just like, are you sure you should put hot glue on the thing that keeps you breathing? Like, yes, I am sure.
If hot glue can damage it, you don't want to be wearing it anyway.
Fair point. See? Get this skin off of me. Hot glue can damage my skin.
So, we're in this loading bay. There's no power currently running, at least not in this part of the station. There's clearly, as we sort of like shine our flashlights around and whatever, we can see signs of like weapon fire, both like ballistic weapons and like laser fire. What looks like some abandoned small personal craft. And it looks like a little spaceport. And a hurricane has been through here. Everything's been thrown around. Whether it got depressurized and a bunch of stuff got thrown around or what. But it definitely looks like it was abandoned in a hurry.
Hmm. Something went down.
I think Thorn will pull one of the scanners off its belt and start running through just to see, like, of the pockmarks and of the other sort of battle damage there is, get an idea of the nature of the conflict that's happened.
Sure. Miss Sands, maybe see if you can interface with the electronics here. Maybe we can get a black box.
Or at least some lights.
Roger.
This looks like a shit show.
Well, it's an old shit show, at least.
I think Marnie goes to one of the nearest panels, like, next to where they docked, and pries it open with her multi-tool and hooks up to the electronics in there. And I think there's like some brief sparking and maybe the lights around splutter a little, but I don't think they actually come on. And she is just like, I think it's too fried. Like, it looks like it took a hit with a blaster of some sort. Sorry, boss.
That is what it is. Everyone make sure you got your lights up.
Bazda presses a button on her blade and it like increases in brightness by like 5%. She just presses it like 3 or 4 times.
Jesus.
The light select. Oh goodness. Like a phone flashlight, yeah. Thorin does this more for politeness for everyone else, but the lights on their suit will brighten up, as do the lights ahead of it. It doesn't actually need it to see, per se, but, you know, just so it's not stalking around in the darkness and potentially scaring others.
Makes sense.
We'll appreciate that.
Kai twists the bottom of the lantern, setting it to a red light, just to preserve everybody's night vision as much as possible.
Art.
As we move sort of into darker spaces. And I guess we get over to a door and we should start playing house and draw some cards.
We did. Yeah. We made it to the front of the game.
Open the door. Woohoo.
Hey, we've been doing some important character work.
It's true.
We have been. We've been setting the scene.
I'll shuffle the cards once more.
Hell yeah.
So the way this will work is we will keep adding rooms, corridors and stuff as we move around this space for each room. In turn, we will draw a card and that card will give us a premise for the scene and a mood for it as per the key in the game. Who wants to go first?
I reach towards the deck.
Do it!
Virtually. Let me draw. I hit the draw button for this one, right?
Yeah, I think you can just click on it and it might drop it onto the table as well. Either or.
Here we go. I draw one card. That's a 2 of clubs, is it?
Alright.
Oh?
Fantastic opening card.
Let's get back into this. Oh boy, that's what clubs means.
Clubs,
huh?
Emotional conflict, hidden agendas, envy, indecision, and betrayal. And 2 indicates a hidden monster. Starting off strong.
Wow, good job, Thorin. You really found the good one.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
So, do you like open something up?
Yeah, so I think this is we're opening a door. We're getting further in. We're getting past the cargo bay. I think what Thorin has been doing this whole time, as everyone has been sort of discussing what's happened and kind of looking around in this entry area, Thorin's had the scanner out and has been following that sort of trail of combat back towards to sort of get an idea of like where it's stemming from. And like on its face, I think this is a decision that makes sense initially, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to determine, like, hey, where did this start from, so we could not go that direction and potentially find things that aren't busted up. But there's also, like, a little bit of morbid curiosity fused in with this,
mm-hmm.
As they pick up, like, more and more and more, heading into, like, a side passage from the main bay itself, sort of away from where most people would input and into kind of, like, not necessarily, well, it wouldn't normally be a darkened corridor. I don't think any corridors would necessarily be completely darkened on a space station like this, but I would say it's probably maybe about, if you put 2 people side by side, like shoulder to shoulder, it would probably be about that wide. As they look into this room, to where there's like a particular concentration of like scorch marks and pock marks and dents and other such things, to look into sort of a black yawning abyss of something. Not entirely clear what lies too far down the hallway, but as it sort of perks up the flower bush and kind of manipulates one side of its suit to open up a little bit and get a sense of like sounds or flow or otherwise coming from deeper in the station, the scanner picks up on materials, I'll say. Not inorganic, like metals or slag or other sorts of things that would happen from the normal sort of like blaster-based or kinetic-based combat of a pitched battle of people escaping or running away, but something more decidedly organic. Maybe not necessarily like carbon-based, but chemicals that you wouldn't expect to see extruded from something that shoots something else. Like traces, scratches, things left behind in ruts in the floor, in the walls. It doesn't get a very clear picture of this just yet, of what might be hiding in, but it does step backwards a bit with these new results on its scanner towards the rest of the group. I'm going to draw a room. Sort of, again, tapping Marlin on the shoulder in particular as it brings up the scanner. The conflict that occurred here, not just people fighting people, something deeper within the station, though I am unsure if it still lives, could be interesting cargo to bring back. Something rare.
Was it organic? Synthetic?
Living at some point. Of what? Materials analysis is not clear.
Shit. Well, maybe we'll actually need that axe.
If it's still kicking, I got you guys.
Chances of survival, unlikely. The volume of fire it must have taken, rather high for a single specimen.
Don't worry about it. I got you guys.
If the axed one would care to lead down the passage, Thorn would not object, but watch your step.
I got you, Thorn. It's okay if you're a little nervous in here. She, like, goes to punch Thorn on the shoulder. I don't know where shoulder would be, but
that's a suit. Gives the shape.
Friendly gesture of a punch on the shoulder. She takes the lead.
There is a rustle in response as it sort of turns the flowers towards the others.
Oh, yeah. Does this mean I get to draw a card next?
Yeah.
I see. I have the Ace of Diamonds.
Ooh, fun.
Ooh.
Diamonds, willpower, good luck, discovery, a second win, and greed. And then an ace, an unexpected obstacle, has something to do with willpower, good luck, discovery. Or, so this looks good, but also bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's good luck in a way that is, at least to begin with, an obstacle.
Yeah.
An obstruction, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to say we find a sort of long and wide hall that stretches out into darkness. Maybe not that far.
Like a hallway? Or like a hall?
Like a hall. Yeah. Like it stretches out pretty far backwards.
Oh my.
Oh yeah. That's huge. Truly a station can be a collective house.
Why is there a coin?
Yeah, I was like,
where
did this coin come
that's
from?
That's me.
Is that us?
So we have a to put where we are.
That's us. Okay, cool.
Thank you, Jade.
Thank you, Jade.
Oh, okay.
We are the coin.
Thank you, Jade.
Anyways, yeah, we walk out into this big, long hall. And in this hall, the hall is wrecked, as every...
Is it, like, big enough that
you're getting it.
Our lights stop, like at a certain spot, and we're not even touching the wall, the end of it.
So our lights sort of fall off around us as we look down this big, sort of dark, looming hall. There's definitely signs of whatever had gotten through the rest of everything, like, has definitely been through here as well. You know, there's scorch marks on the walls from people trying to fight it off, and I don't know exactly, we haven't decided what kind of creature is looming potentially here still, but Basda's definitely, like, got her axe at the ready, ready to swing at anything that makes so much as makes a move. And...
I have a suggestion for the obstacle.
Shoot, go for it, yeah.
What if in this particular area, the gravity is on the fritz?
Ooh, I like that.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah. So as we, like, step into this room, we start just, like, everything gets a little floaty. And then it crashes.
Well, it gets... mag boots.
They don't call me Iron Tread for nothing. And she, like, flips the button on her suit. Or on her boots and slams into the ground.
So, like, the debris and, like tables and stuff are just kind of... floating in the
air. Yeah, I like that.
In just this room.
I like that a lot.
If the gravity's in the fritz too, that means there's probably heavy things that are also raising and then slamming into the grounds or against the walls. Yeah.
Yeah, tables and stuff.
So this is just a vicious spiral of stuff.
Well, good thing I'm so compact, huh? Basta starts down the corridor, dodging tables and stuff. Is this a thing? I guess we're just heading off. It's not too bad in here. It is pretty bad, though. She barely dodges an entire table.
Well, if the gravity is on the fritz here, that means there's some sort of power somewhere.
And there you go. Want to start seeking it out?
Let me see if I can find Marnie doesn't finish the thought as she, like, stomps towards a panel on the wall. This one doesn't appear to be as scorched. So she pries it open again and connects to it. I don't know, is it more interesting if we're able to get a hold of the gravity or if this shorts out the gravity and the gravity just cuts out completely?
We could flip a coin.
Yeah, let's get weird.
Yeah, D2.
Let's see how well Marnie does.
All right, we're able to get control of the gravity. So
nice.
Marnie's just like heads up and everything just like thunks to the ground. So we have overcome this obstacle. Is there anything else? Do we see anything else interesting in this room before we head out?
Yeah, this was a good luck discovery room, wasn't it?
Yeah. Maybe instead of just the gravity, we also get a sense of where the power source is.
Mm. Ah, precis. That's what I was thinking, too. Like, not just how to get control of it, but also potentially how to distribute it for, like, auxiliary systems, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I think Thorne will approach Marnie with one of those tools out and ready.
Suggestion to reroute power for lights. Rest of station should be more navigable if everyone can see properly.
Yeah, and the lights won't take as much power as, like, life support system, so as long as we stay in our suits, we should have enough juice to get around.
Sounds good to me.
Correct assumption. Yep, so Thorne will get to work with the power junction and rerouting it back into main station power for getting at least the lights running.
I love that none of us have checked in with the captain to be like, is this a good point of action? We're just like, yeah, this sounds
we're
right.
Professionals.
We're a free-spirited salvage crew.
Marlene is more than capable of telling people to stop if he thinks so. We're grown-ups.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, we're all professionals.
Some kind of professional, anyways.
Anya, did you have any thoughts or anything before we vacate this room?
No, we can vacate this room.
Oh, general recommendation. Excavator and finance officer should examine the goods around for anything potentially undamaged to score for later.
Time to start searching out valuables.
Rewiring work will take some minutes.
Speaking
maybe
of,
we've got like, I was just thinking like, busting open like a special kind of spray paint that like glows in the dark once it comes out to tag anything worth picking up on our way back through. So,
I like that.
I like that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So it can collect it all on the way back in the salvage run.
Yeah.
All right. Who would like to draw the next card?
All right. So, remind me. So we're just moving through. Did we fix the gravity,
yes,
or are we just
on.
we're following? Gravity's back on. Stuff like boom, boom, thorns to the ground.
Yep.
And Thorn and Marnie tracking down like the power lines, effectively. So it's not like a true map, but it is giving us a direction mm-hmm. to go.
It's like when you do like that, like the line in Dead Space that shows you where to go.
You read my mind. But then again, you said mag boots, so I think I was influenced.
It's definitely a touchdown for me in this. All right, so we got the five of diamonds. Diamonds we'd gotten before. Five is a critical misunderstanding. That's concerning.